Make Me Smart is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know around here we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to school to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million. All right, you know what? Let's go. Let's just go. Screw it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Hollowed out shelters.
You know. I'm just going to check the
slides. Oh, I do.
There, so no, don't go.
Hey, guys. Hope you're there. We're starting the show. I'm Molly Wood. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, the weekday podcast where we make today make sense. It sounds like such a hopeful tagline. Really
I
does.
Know.
We do.
I know. And then sometimes we do it,
like,
and sometimes
it.
We don't.
I'm Kyle Rizdahl.
It is Thursday. That's right. That's right. It is Thursday today. Hollowed out shell of a Thursday. I'm very middling right now. So honestly, the next 15 minutes of our lives could go either way. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I had like a very hollowed out shell Wednesday, because as I mentioned yesterday, I really thought it was Thursday already.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I have brought some of the stories that hollowed out my shell yesterday. Today is a little better, but yeah. But yeah. But yeah. I noticed that the two of us have like all kinds of stories in here, which I'm pretty delighted by. Because the other thing that's happened this week is like Monday we didn't get to talk about the news. Tuesday, we had our big show and just sort of a, like an abbreviated, you know, regular old news fix. Yesterday was What Do You Want to Know Wednesday. So I've just been saving stuff. Quickly, today, I saw that the Biden administration has, and this is good news for us and the rest of the world, at long last revealed its plans for how the administration intends to distribute 25 million doses of COVID-19 vaccine that it will be donating throughout the world to help other countries combat the pandemic. We are providing roughly 75% of the global vaccine aid program COVAX, and then there will be the remaining 25% of the doses to specific countries, including Brazil, Paraguay, El Salvador, India, Nepal, Pakistan, the Philippines, African countries, and then a total of 6 million doses to Mexico, Canada, West Bank and Gaza, Ukraine, Egypt, and Iraq.
Yep.
And that is good news.
Cool. It's overdue. I mean, I get the Biden administration's desire to get more Americans vaccinated, but we could have, you know, taken all those AstraZeneca shots we had and got them out and all that stuff. But this is good news for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, otherwise, you know, it doesn't end.
Yep.
Period. Hey, speaking of things that don't end.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that you saw, although I don't know why it sort of wasn't a bigger deal, this story yesterday about how the NFL, after being called out for this as long ago as December 2020, if not sooner, is going to end a practice called race norming, which has existed for a long time, but in the case of the NFL, is used to determine whether the NFL will pay money to players who suffer from dementia and other issues after sustaining multiple concussions. And in this case, what the race norming does is assume, and I am not making this up, nor am I exaggerating. In the case of the NFL, what the race norming does is assume that Black players are starting from a lower cognitive baseline. And so therefore, if they suffer from dementia or other cognitive issues as a result of getting lots of concussions, then it wasn't actually as big a difference as with white players, and so they don't get paid in this billion-dollar settlement fund that the NFL created to pay players that it broke with its sport. This was happening.
Yep.
Like today. And the NFL said, you know, these were voluntary guidelines and we didn't necessarily hire the doctors directly and we didn't tell them that they had to enforce these guidelines. However, according to ESPN, the NFL appealed some claims filed by black players if their scores were not adjusted for race and then didn't pay them. Like, there's so much conversation in this country about how we might not be a racist country or there might not be systemic racism, which is all smoke and mirrors, right? Yes, you say it.
How can you possibly maintain that racism is not systemic in this society? How can you with a straight face say that? It just doesn't make any sense.
Like, it's the sort of mundane, it's the banality of it. In this case, right, that you would be having this sort of HR conversation about eugenics. Like, well, you know, as a friend put it, hope you guys all helped yourself to some coffee and a pastry. Let's go through these claims. Did you apply subsection 607A of the contract to this player's claim to make sure that it meets all the suggested guidelines? Like, gross.
Yep.
So... So they're going to stop that now, which I guess is...
And that's good. And that's good. Mm-hmm. It's amazing that we're here, but that they're stopping is good, I suppose. Okay. So I've got three. I will be reasonably brief. The first one clicks into what Molly was talking about the vaccines and global distribution and all of that. Axios, as you may or may not be aware, it's a news website, has been putting out maps on a regular basis through the pandemic in which they chart lots of things, but they chart, you know, state-by-state COVID cases and whether they're increasing or decreasing and just generally updating its readers on the state of the virus. And today they put out a map which showed all green, which is good, right? Virus counts decreasing, case counts decreasing, all trends in the right direction. And then they said, and this is the quote, cases in the U.S. are low and they are likely to stay low, which is why after 56 weeks, this will be the end of our weekly map. Thank you for reading. Mm-hmm. Now, yay, cases are low, but are we a little early in the, we're not going to track this anymore. That's what I think. It just troubles me just a tad. It troubles me just a bit. And I know I've been, you know what, go.
Well, I would argue one would also hope like that the government agencies in charge of tracking this, which many of these maps by journalistic outlets replaced, are also now stuff doing the job in a way that we can trust, which was not
before. That's a very good point. That's a very good point. And that is probably the case. But still, I'm reluctant to declare victory too soon. And maybe that's just me because I know I've been more, you know, negative and squeamish than a lot of people about that. Okay, my item number two is a phone call that President Biden made, which ordinarily isn't a big deal, except number one, nobody knew about this call until the Washington Post reported it today. And number two, it was Joe Biden calling Larry Summers, former Secretary of the Treasury under Clinton, head of the National Economic Council under Biden. And as you know, if you've been listening to Marketplace the last 6 months, a very loud voice for the inflation is coming, the sky is falling, stimulus package is too big. And it's interesting that the president took time to call Larry and try to get him on board. Larry Summers has been an 800-pound gorilla in Democratic economics for a very long time. And he is now out of step with where the party is on the economy. And it's interesting that the president is trying to get him on side. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. And Larry Summers will, of course, not stop talking because that's what Larry Summers does. But, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. And then, oh, Willow, stop. Can you hear her? No. She's got a grimy tennis ball in her mouth. Stop. I know. Anyway, last one. And this actually broke late this afternoon. It's news that's coming from Facebook tomorrow, we are told by The Verge, and I'll just read the lead here. Facebook plans to end its controversial policy that mostly shields politicians from the content moderation rules that apply to other users. A sharp reversal, The Verge goes on, that could have global ramifications for how elected officials use the social network. So we will see what happens with that announcement if it comes tomorrow. Two thoughts obviously come to mind. Number one, I wonder what the status of Donald Trump's account is. And number two, this comes as the former president, of course, is doing this loony thing about August reinstatement. And I just want to put a marker down on that. That's it.
This was such an interesting story. I'm glad you brought it because I suspect it almost certainly presages Facebook announcing that Donald Trump will not be allowed to return to the platform. But it also, there was a, I mean, right? Like, that's the easiest out ever at this point to make that announcement. Like, it turns out politicians also have to follow our terms of service. Therefore, or they'll let him back and it'll be super conditional. And as soon as he violates the terms of service, he won't have any special treatment. Right. Not to mention all the other world leaders.
I think that's more likely, actually. They let him back on and with these new rules, and then he goes over the line and they say, you're out.
And they boot him immediately. But there was a really interesting piece today by Casey Newton, who is like, is The Verge, but does a newsletter now, paid newsletter.
Yeah.
But he wrote about Donald Trump ending his 90s era blog page that he had set up.
Yeah.
After it was getting like dismal traffic, like 15,000 uniques a day, I think, which is like a reasonably cute dog can get that on TikTok, you know? And it pointed out, though, that the conversation has never actually been about free speech. It's been about free reach.
Yes.
Like a lot of disinformation advocates will say, you know, you're entitled to say whatever you want. You are not entitled to reach to us amplifying this for you and using our algorithm to put it in front of people. And, you know, Facebook and Twitter supply politicians and other famous people with essentially a free, nearly unmediated platform to reach as many people as are interested. And it was a significant development from that perspective, for sure.
Yeah, totally agree.
Also, for the reading list, because I can't stop, I had like 9 things that I slacked myself today that I wanted to talk about. Right. For the reading list, Jennifer Rubin had a good piece in the Washington Post, speaking of Biden and the economic policies, that just said, opinion, giving people money works. Honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's, you know, there's a Census Bureau surveys and a new analysis out this week that basically...
Right.
It was that study and said that the 2 rounds of aid that came from the federal government kept people fed and happier and housed.
Yep.
Full stop.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Like real-time living lab experiment in, you know, essentially a version of universal basic income.
Right. Right. Which we have talked about. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
So interesting.
Let us pause here before Liana hits that sting and just make sure that people know we want them to write to us, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's makemesmart@marketplace.org. We want, number one, your questions for What Do You Want to Know Wednesday. We also want your thoughts, comments, critiques, although gently, about what you hear on this podcast. Your answers to the Make Me Smart question. Basically, we want it all. And we'll take it in voice memos. We'll take it in emails. We'll read them. We get it. That's fine. makemesmart@marketplace.org. Just, you know, hit us up.
All right. Happy place.
All right. Go. There we go. Yeah.
I love yours. You start.
All right. So mine is kind of awesome. We've all heard about Naomi Osaka, the tennis player who withdrew from the French Open after having explained that she suffers from sometimes terrible anxiety. She's been through depression and that facing the press after matches was tough for her. And we can get into the whole, you know, how badly the major tournaments mishandled it and all of these things. But the good news out of this is that the meditation app Calm, never wanting to miss an opportunity actually to brand itself, now that I say this out loud, has said, number one, we support Naomi Osaka, right? Which is great. Also, we will pay fines
for people who choose to opt out of any of the Grand Slams for mental health reasons, which, you know, yes, branding, and you got to spend money to make brand capital, but I think that's a good thing. And I think, you know, brave as hell for her to do this, and let's hope it kickstarts conversation, as you said, Molly, the other day, about mental health being just health, you know?
Just health, totally. Yeah, it also just shows to your original, to your starting place, like how badly this was missing. I'm so fascinated by these organizations that sort of think that, like, maybe they think that no one's going to find out about this. I'm also thinking of Stanford Law School interfering with one of its students' graduation because the Federalist Society of that school complained about his satirical treatment of them, which couldn't be more First Amendment protection. And then they were like, we're going to mess with your graduation. And the major tournaments, do they go into a room and A, think that that is a good idea, and then B, think that no one's ever going to hear about it?
I think they've got really highly paid communications and marketing people who said, yep, this is the way to go. Draw the hard line, crack down, don't take any questions at the press conference, all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened.
I know.
And somehow they couldn't see that that was going to backfire.
And then these brands, and I'm sorry, it just got to be generational, because then these like millennial-oriented brands come along, millennial and Gen Z-oriented brands come along, and they're like, that's not how the world works anymore, guys.
Right.
It's really not.
Right. Yep.
Gotta keep first, up. I got all excited today about the return of Supersonic Flight, which was pretty sick, in 2029. Carbon neutral supersonic flight. And apparently United said it's going to buy 15 of these planes from this company called Boom Supersonic, which they have not, it has not been built or certified yet. So it's really just like, yay, it's so exciting and the carbon neutral.
Yeah.
But it was like, awesome, you know, supersonic flight is neat. And then I found this story about these fishermen who found a floating 280-pound chunk of whale vomit, which I would have thought happened all the time. And it doesn't. And when you find a chunk like that, you haul it in and then you sell it for $1.5 million.
No, you don't.
This is the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. God. Whale vomit is also known as ambergris, an odorous substance found only in the digestive systems of sperm whales. It is often called the treasure of the sea, or, quote, floating gold, because it's so rare.
Wow.
It's used to make perfume scents last longer and all of these other things. And so these 35 fish, I mean, I like love this story. They found this chunk of this ambergris stuff, sold it for $1.5 million, shared the profits equally, and then they've bought like homes, cars, and boats off the whale vomit windfall.
Okay, wait, this next part is great. While they were towing it back to shore, the crew determined there might be ambergris in the whale's stomach because of the strong smell of marine fecal odor that the substance emits. And yet we put it in our perfumes.
Perfumes. Science is amazing!
Oh, God.
Good job, those dudes. And nobody killed anybody.
No,
like, they just shared the money and got some new cars and houses and boats. And I love this story.
That's a good one. I like that.
Never
one.
Know. Love that one. All right, we are going to go. That is it for Thursday. See, we feel better. I do. Anyway,
there you go.
Hope you do.
I do. Yeah.
Excellent. Mission accomplished. Make me smile. Mission accomplished. Don't forget to sign up for the Make Me Smart newsletter to keep on learning unexpected things, which is also our jam on the show. This week, actually, it is Pride Month. And so we're taking a closer look at the history of Pride and the movement for LGBTQIA equality.
Back tomorrow is What We Are, Economics on Tap, the YouTube live stream, all that usual Friday jazz, 3:30 our time, 6:30 on the other coast, and whatever time you can figure out by looking at a world clock. That's what you got to do.
Just ask Siri. That's how I do it.
That's right. That's right. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Marissa Cabrera. Tony Wagner is our digital producer. Erica Phillips does our newsletters. Also, our Make Me Smart explainers. None this week, right, Erica? Because I didn't do any.
Biscuits. If there were some, I didn't have two to track. I'm going to do it right now. I'm doing it right now. Right after this. Okay. Not right this second. Right. Today's program was engineered by Liana Squilacci, who panicked just a minute thinking I was going to be like, hey, I'm Molly Wood. Welcome back to Make Me Smart. Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez composed our theme music. Donya Tam is the senior producer who said she couldn't have stopped us from starting the show even if she wanted to. The executive director of On Demand is Satar Nieves.
All right, so here's the update. I do not have any explainers to do. Molly, you do have to do yours.
I have two.
Yelling at you in all caps. Okay. All right.
Nobody killed anybody. That happens.
Yeah.
I watched
too
many action movies, I guess. Love it.
Strong communication skills are critical for success in business and in life. Hi, I'm Matt Abrahams, and I host Stanford Graduate School of Business's Think Fast, Talk Smart, the podcast. Each week, I sit down with experts to discuss the best tips to help you with your communication skills, from conflict management to mastering small talk to tackling communication anxiety. Join us and start to develop and hone your communication skills. Listen every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube.